Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. We begin with the Decalogue. The response is, Amen, Lord, have mercy. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Jesus said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord. The psalm is read in unison. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world. In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Congratulations on getting here. It's good to see you. It's hard to wake up an hour earlier. I don't know why we do it, but I'm glad you're here. When I was in high school, I used to ride one of those big yellow buses to school. I was an inner city public school kid who had been transferred to a top private school, and it was hard. And in the morning times, I usually had knots in my stomach. I'd be nervous about some test that was coming or something. So I'd sit by the window in this big school bus, and I'd scan the horizon looking for a steeple, a church steeple. And then when I saw one, I would fix my eyes on the steeple, take a deep breath, and then I'd look for another one. Just seeing those beautiful church steeples rising up into the sky made me feel more peaceful. This year at our annual meeting, I threw up a slide of a cathedral in Europe that has become a skateboarding rink. There's a picture of this boy. He's on one of those ramps, those curving ramps, and he's having a great time, and these ramps are all built all over the inside of the cathedral. In the old neighborhood where I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, there is a new set of retro apartments. They're called the Abbey because it's made out of an old abbey. And they're very popular.
You all know the little church right at Hemming Plaza downtown here that closed. And at One Spark last year, there was a business proposal to open it up again as a new bar and discotheque. So when you walked inside, there are all these flashing globes, lights going around, and a beautiful bar set up, and some of the floor space is now going to be used for dancing. Are these places still God's house? Those retro apartments, the discotheque on Hemming Plaza, the skateboarding rink? Are they still God's house? Or are they not? Last month, I went on the internet and I found there's a new club in Atlanta. It's called the Cathedral Club. It's made out of an old, beautiful cathedral church. Great dancing and drinks. Restaurant. Is that still God's house? Jesus loved God's house. We know this because when he was a little boy, there's a story in the Gospel of Luke about Jesus going to Jerusalem with his family. You remember this story, right? He goes to Jerusalem with a lot of Nazareth, a whole caravan of people, and they're visiting and everything, and then they start to head back home, and about as the sun is setting, Jesus' parents realize he's not with the group. And of course, they're frantic. So they return to Jerusalem to look for him, and they look everywhere. And when they finally find him, he's in the temple. And Jesus' parents say, "Where were you? We were crazy." And Jesus says, "Well, didn't you know that I would be here in my Father's house? Where else would I be?" He had spent the entire day and the next talking and arguing with the rabbis in God's house. But in today's gospel, Jesus returns to God's house and he finds that things look a bit different. Or maybe he didn't notice them when he was a child. We don't know. But what's going on in this gospel, and in all four of the gospel accounts, Jesus does this in every gospel. You see, there were two sections to the temple in Jerusalem. There was an outer section and then the inner section with the Holy of Holies. And pilgrims, Jews, would come from all over the Roman Empire to worship God in God's house. But the temple authorities would not let the pilgrims give Roman currency to God. They insisted that all of the Jews exchange their Roman money for the Jewish shekel. Well, so these pilgrims would come from far and wide, and they'd get to the doorstep of this holy house only to realize that they had to get Jewish shekels. And so a business grew up. Money changers. They realized, hey, they had these pilgrims cornered. They were desperate to get into God's house. They knew that in order to give God a gift of thanksgiving, they had to change their money. So these money changers started charging a lot, getting a profit. And what were the pilgrims going to do? Where else could they go to exchange their money? They wanted to get inside. They wanted to interact with God. They wanted to worship, so they were desperate. And the money changers made a great profit. And then there were the animals. It was customary to say thank you to God by sacrificing an animal at the altar. It sounds grotesque to us today, but back then, there was nothing more valuable than meat. And to give an unblemished lamb to God was to give the best that you had, or or a cow or a sheep or a pair of turtle doves. That was the best kind of gift there was. It was better than money. But how can you travel hundreds of miles with livestock or with a goat? You can't. So these pilgrims would come to the temple wanting to sacrifice an animal, and again, it was a great business opportunity. You could charge a lot for those turtle doves because they wanted to get inside God's house and they wanted to give a gift. When Jesus sees what's going on in the outer section of the temple, he becomes really angry. He takes a cords, makes them into a whip, and he drives the animals outside. And he takes the tables, where you can just picture all these coins piled up, you know? He takes the tables and he throws them over, and all the coins, they just go everywhere. You can just see the money changers crawling along the floor trying to grab their coins, and all the chaos that ensues, all the animals running around. I read a scholar this week who argues that Jesus wasn't really mad because it doesn't actually say that he was mad. Oh, give me a break. Are you kidding? Of course he was mad. He was furious. And why are we scared of Jesus being mad? You know, I think that we Americans have gotten so uncomfortable with anger, it's not considered appropriate. Don't raise your voice, we tell our children. Don't upset someone. Or we'll point to someone and say, well, he has anger issues. As if to be angry is to lose control. But maybe Jesus wasn't losing control. Maybe God was trying to tell us that it's not only okay to be angry, sometimes it is the truth. It may not be appropriate or good etiquette, but it is the truth that things make us mad, and that is a good thing. If the Son of God got mad, then it's not a sin for you to get angry too. In fact, sometimes I think that we need to rediscover our anger. And what was it that made Jesus so mad? Well, for one thing, I think it's pretty clear that whenever you step in between a person and God, that Christ doesn't like that at all. Do you remember that verse that Jesus said, if you cause one of the least of these to stumble, it would be better if a great millstone were put around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Don't mess around between me and my people. If someone walks in the door of this church and they don't smell good, or they're not acting right, we should never tell them to leave. Never. There's nothing that would make God more angry. Or if someone is acolyting and they make a terrible mistake, don't ever make them feel like they're not supposed to be there. God does not want us interfering in his relationship with anyone of us human beings. So when we see someone lost in church or struggling with a bulletin, help them. Help them. No matter what they look like or smell like or whether they're snorting or making noises or driving you crazy, help them. Help them. I also think that Jesus was just enraged because God's house was being turned into something else. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's great for us to use our sanctuary for concerts and dance and art and all kinds of things. We should be very creative. But this is God's house, and the heartbeat of this place must always be worship and prayer. And I don't understand why we, as a body, as a church, are not angered when we see all of these churches being turned into clubs and apartments and restaurants and bars. Every time one of these beautiful sanctuaries is changed or destroyed, a piece of Christ's body is damaged. Do we really think it's just as good to move out into a mall-like setting out there and let these beautiful sanctuaries crumble? Where is our anger? Where is our outrage? Maybe we think that they're not part of us, so they're another denomination. Or poor them, they must have gone over budget. It's not going to affect me. But the tide is turning, my friends. And yes, this cathedral is healthy. We're growing. We're blessed. But who knows where we'll be in 50 years or 100 years? Things are changing. This is God's house. And I myself want to take a stand this morning. I vow to do everything that I can to ensure that this remains God's house for generations to come. Will you join me? Stand with me. I think it's time for us to wake up, to get mad. This is God's house. And I myself vow and pray that it always will be. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith by saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. Ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have glory. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Maker of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are found in your bulletin insert. Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord,
hear us.
For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, I invite you to name aloud those who need our prayers. Good Lord,
hear us.
For peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East and Ukraine, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord,
hear us.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord,
hear us.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord,
hear us.
For those who have died, especially Christians who have died for their faith in the Middle East, I invite you to speak aloud the names of those you love who have died. Good Lord,
yes.
For our journey throughout this season of Lent, that we may have the strength to practice the disciplines we have adopted. Good Lord,
yes.
We thank you for this time to worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. Good Lord,
yes.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral, and congratulations again on getting your time right. We may see a few people join us for communion, but that's okay. We welcome them late. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold your hand up so that they can find you, and you've got to keep it up until they arrive with the gift, and then you can put it down, okay? Welcome. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep hands up. There you go. They're coming. They're coming. They're looking for you right now. Good. All your hands up. Welcome. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Today is CAP Sunday. CAP stands for the Cathedral Arts Project. And in the 1990s, this church started teaching dance to some of the homeless children who were across the street. It has grown now into an independent nonprofit organization that teaches 1,600 children in the public school systems art, music, and dance. And welcome, guys. It's coming. Your gifts are coming. We're so glad you're here. And we have some of the children's artwork on display in Tolliver Hall. And you won't believe the genius of these children. If there was ever a doubt that children should be taught art, there's no doubt when you look at these paintings. So I hope you'll go in and enjoy them. At 1:30 today, we have a great thing. We have an awards ceremony that I get to host, and we get to give every single child a medal for their art. And watching their faces as they come up on the stage and receive their award is just awesome. So, believe it or not, Lent is moving quickly. The holiest season in the church year is called Holy Week, and it is the week before Easter. I urge you to look at your website or the bulletin to see the times of the services during that week. That's the week where Jesus has the Last Supper, goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. Good Friday, of course, will be here for 3 hours as Jesus hung on the cross, and people sort of come and go as they can. On the morning of Easter, early, early in the morning, as the sun is rising, is considered the holiest service of the church year, and we baptize. So if there are folks that want to be baptized, be sure that you call the church so that I can meet with you before Easter. We need coffee hour angels. If you can bring in some cookies, please sign up, or good healthy food is even better, for Tolliver Hall. There's a sign-up sheet in Tolliver Hall. We still have name tags that have not been picked up. Who's wearing a name tag? Can you stand up if you're wearing them? It's getting better every week. Yeah, good. This is a great thing because you can call each other by name. Your name tag should be in the cloister out here. If you don't have one made, sign the piece of paper and we'll make sure we make one for you. And during Lent, remember, we're praying every day, morning and evening prayer, as well as on Fridays, there's the Stations of the Cross in Cummings Chapel. And last but not least, our parish family retreat is in May, May 8th through the 10th. If you'd really like to get closer to some of your brothers and sisters here at the cathedral, that is a great time. We all go out to Camp Weed. There's workshops and games and icon writing and fun things. So mark that down, May 8th through the 10th. Yes, Bishop. Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, stop. Thank you. You just made my day, and you're so beautiful. Bishop, oh, thank you, dear. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation, and gave your Son Jesus Christ to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and singing. And bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you and broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all earth. Look with favor on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much to gather the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so that we, the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may ever live in him and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God to you, the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died and raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Now please join me as we send forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the love and knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God, the Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
to love and serve the Lord.